The next topic relates to the use of bevacizumab with chemotherapy as first-line treatment for metastatic disease. Bev plus paclitaxel, as utilized in the ECOG 2100 trial, is utilized by most of the faculty as first-line therapy, and 6 faculty members would use it second-line in a patient progressing on capecitabine. Dr. Pegram began the discussion.
I was impressed by the E2100 data, and in particular, if you look at the hazard ratio, it's very much reminiscent of our experience in the pivotal trial of Herceptin in the first-line HER2-positive metastatic setting. Moreover, if you look at the one-year survival outcome differences, they also fall right on top of the one-year survival differences that were seen early on in the Herceptin pivotal trial. So clearly there's demonstration of efficacy in terms of improved time to tumor progression. The overall survival data are not yet mature for that data set, but they should be this year, I would expect. The last time Kathy Miller updated that data set, I think only about 30% of the final number of survival events had yet occurred, and so we'll have to wait for the final analysis on that.
What about this issue of first and second line therapy? Again, this situation where the patient's gotten capecitabine, so now technically they're second line. Does that change?
That's being addressed in the ongoing Ribbon 2 study, which is exactly this situation, and patients are on that study allowed to receive a menu of different chemotherapy options at the investigator's discretion and then randomized to bevacizumab or not in the second-line setting. Short of any data from such a trial, I probably would not routinely recommend it in the second line myself because there's literally no data to support it in the second line in metastatic breast cancer at this time.
Ryan, what's your thoughts on this?
I'm extremely impressed. I mean, you've got a drug here which, going beyond the breast world, has shown efficacy in colon, lung, various other sites. I think this whole field of anti-angiogenesis, I mean, my first contact with Judah Folkman was when I was with NCI. He came to present in 81, 83. I mean, this is a field which I think is going to change, and I could see in routine practice in 4 or 5 years alternating bevacizumab with sinitinib, with sorafenib, and a whole range of antiangiogenics. In terms of continuation of therapy or activity in second line, Mark is absolutely right, of course. There is no data in this. But I do have the feeling that we're going to be seeing significant activity in second and third line metastatic disease. I think we will see some of that.
Kathy, what are your thoughts?
Well, not using it, aren't funded for it, but I think this drug is going to be active and that we will be using it in a broader setting. I think we're just waiting for a little more data.
One of the first reactions to this was, quote, well, we have so many agents to treat breast cancer. What's the big deal? You want to comment on that?
We don't have enough of the right agents to treat breast cancer or women wouldn't be dying of it.
Ron?
One of the things that changed my view of the data was the update when they showed us the subgroups. And before, it was kind of taxane previously untreated. And I said, who do I come back to with a taxane after adjuvant taxane? And it seemed like the data is really not very good in that setting. But then when they showed us the subgroup who had adjuvant taxane, the hazard ratio was almost identical. So that suggested it really probably is the best data for first-line previous taxane-exposed patients. So it's really a wonderful slot for it, in my view.